Monday! Open wide dev fans!
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax, and this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking all about a common question that is typically seen in things like interviews or perhaps just a general thing that you're going to run into at some point in your development career. And it involves with the amount of times that you need to hit to load data. And this is called the N plus one. I don't know if it's called the N plus one, but it is an N plus one issue. And we're going to be talking all about what the heck that is or why it might be relevant to you, when you might come across it, and what are some of the solutions here that are out there. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a full stack developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited to talk about this specific N plus one problem.
I am excited to talk about it because it's not one of my favorite things in the whole world, and it's definitely one of those traps that's really easy to get into, especially in GraphQL land. It's exceedingly easy to just drop yourself into an N plus one issue and then have to learn about it. And there's not a ton of resources out there. It's like, oh yeah, this thing that I might not even know of going on is happening. Oh, guess I got to figure it out. All right, this episode is sponsored by a couple of great companies. It is sponsored by Hasura, as well as Sentry. Now, Hasura is really, really cool. Now, what it is it's a data service that basically allows you instant access to get jamming on a database. And it opens up all sorts of API CRUD operations for you just out of the box. So let's say if you wanted to get started with a GraphQL API, you didn't want to have to think about a database. You didn't want to have to think about any of those layers. You could just create a Hasura instance, which uses Postgres, and it allows you to quickly and easily create all of those routes that you might need to use and queries and mutations. And actually, they're a really good sponsor for this episode because it really helps you with some of these maintaining a GraphQL API situations. So Hasura gives you instant GraphQL on your data source, whether that is a Postgres or a Postgres family of databases, a SQL, BigQuery, any of those things. I've only ever used it with Postgres, but it was very, very easy to get up and running. You don't need to write your own GraphQL server, which is definitely a pain point for a lot of people. And Hasura generates a whole bunch of stuff for you. Like I mentioned, all of those mutations and queries that you might want to have for your CRUD operations. The GraphQL servers are also, their real time is really super easy with Hasura. And if you don't want to run your stuff on Hasura's site, you can use an open source version of Hasura too and run it yourself. It's really pretty slick. So if you want to try Hasura, head on over to Hasura, hasura.info/free trial. Use the coupon code TRYHASURA, that's TRYHASURA, all one word. Give that a go. And man, this thing is super duper cool. So give it a try at hasura.info/free trial and give it a rip. It's really, really, really cool.
Also going to talk about Sentry, which does error and exception monitoring. It also does performance monitoring. I'm going to talk today about their error and exception tracking. So what it does is you install it in your app. They support literally every language out there, .NET, PHP, Flask, iOS, JavaScript specifically. They can get into React, Laravel, Node, you name it. They support that type of thing. So you install this thing into your application, usually just paste a couple lines of code, and it gives you information about what went wrong when something happened. So syntax error, 500 error, cannot read property X of undefined. It will give you these little breadcrumbs that show you what happened. What did the user click in order to make this error actually happen? Which Git repo commit is this thing tied to specifically? Who should fix it? Who is assigned to this? How often is this happening? What browser is this happening on? All the information you need in order to both jump on issues before your users email you about something not working, as well as just like clear insights into what was actually causing this. So check it out, Sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT for 2 months for free. Thanks so much to Sentry for sponsoring. All right, so let's talk about the N plus one problem. I thought we'd go through this because this is something that comes up in interview questions, or this is like a very computer science-y problem. And it does, like Scott says, it pops up a lot in GraphQL because often in your database, you have relationships from content. So let's say you want to fetch a list of 10 podcasts, and then each podcast has one or two or three hosts. You have a relationship between your data type, which is podcasts, and you have that will have one or more hosts, right? And then you need to grab a list of names for the podcast hosts. And then maybe you also want to go even further. And with GraphQL, it's really easy to be like, ooh, well, I also would like to grab a list of other podcasts this person hosts, right? Mm-hmm. And from those podcasts, maybe grab the host for that. And then you can go infinitely nested in GraphQL. And then sometimes we forget that there actually is a database behind the scenes in GraphQL that is actually running all of these queries. And what can happen is that, all right, a list of 10 podcasts, that's one query in your database. But then what happens is that it says, oh, for the first podcast, I need to get the list of hosts for that podcast. And then the second one, it does another one. So even though you did one query for 10 podcasts, it might have gone ahead and done 11 requests to your database, because for every podcast that you have, you need to go ahead and do another request to get a list of hosts where the host podcast is in this array. And that is what is referred to as the N plus one problem, meaning that for every N things that you have, it's possible that you exponentially increase the amount of queries that go to your database, and that could lead to a potential issues in being that your requests are very, very slow, right? Because if it takes 100, 200 milliseconds for 10 podcasts, okay, but then you got to query maybe 20 authors. Before you know it, you've got 5-6 second requests happening, mm-hmm. and that's way too slow, right?
Can I give an explanation of it too? Is how it relates even to the Level Up tutorial site, how we've hit it.
Yeah, please.
So if you think about it like this, again, anytime you have data relationships, especially in a GraphQL context, this could be a problem because the relationship is taking place at the API layer, right? So let's say we were to say, give me every tutorial in this specific series. There's 24 tutorials, but then I need to get some information about the series itself. And the series, maybe the series title or it's whatever. So then I would say, all right, on each of these tutorials, also give me the playlist.title, right? And what that does is, like you mentioned, is every single time I have to load the tutorial, then that takes that tutorial and it takes it to the next resolver. And that next resolver then does the playlist query. And that playlist query has now been executed 20 some times, or however many times exists in that playlist, however many videos are, even though the data that's coming back from that playlist query is going to be the same every single time. We're basically having 22 unnecessary DB calls because of that relationship at the API layer. If this sounds over your head or something like that, if you work in GraphQL for a couple months, you're going to hit this error. So, or it's not an error, you're going to hit this problem where it's an overfetching from your database problem. And is it crucial? It's going to be crucial to understand long-term, and it's going to be crucial to fix long-term. But there are many queries on the Level Up tutorial site where we're just kind of eating the cost because the queries are fast enough right now.
Yeah.
And some of the solutions are a little bit, they're time intensive to implement. So that's a little bit of a personal anecdote about how this can come across in any sort of normal database or normal data solution. You have a playlist, you have videos, query the videos, query the playlist. It's that relationship happening at the API layer.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you said. Like, the solution often is don't worry about it because it's fast enough. You're really not having any queries that this thing is becoming a significant issue. And sometimes people like to just sit around and talk about this issue a lot more than is actually affecting you. So the first solution is don't worry about it. Is it actually an issue for you, or is this just a theoretical issue that is popping up in your specific use case? The way that you actually do solve this thing is that, let's go back to our podcast example. We have a list of 10 podcasts. And before you query the actual authors, in each podcast, you'll have like IDs which are a relationship to a host. And what you can do is you loop over all 10 of those. And for each one, you don't go off and fetch the hosts. You just keep an array of all of the hosts that you do need to look up. So after you've looped over 10 podcasts, you're now going to have an array of anywhere from 8 to 30 podcast hosts that you say, okay, now I have an array of podcast hosts that I need to go look up. And then you can do a single request saying, give me all the podcast hosts that where their IDs match any of them in this array of 8 to 30 IDs. Then that's only two queries. And then you come back and then you can go in and hydrate those back in. So you can say, all right, here's the ID for Scott. It's 1234. Now put Scott's data in this relationship. Oh, here's Wes 456. Let me put Wes's info in this one. And that's just two things. And with MySQL and a lot of other languages, you can even go even further and do like left joins and go pretty complicated on this type of thing. Again, maybe not necessarily needed. Sometimes two queries is totally fine. So that's the solution to the N plus one problem. Save an array of IDs and then look them up in one go. Now, the next question we have here is like, what do you actually use? Like when it comes to tech, right?
Yeah. Are you rolling that by hand? I'm not rolling that by hand. Maybe I am in some points, but I don't want to, you know.
What are some of the ones that you've heard of to solve this, Scott?
So the big one is Data Loader, right? There's this thing made by Facebook called Data Loader. One of the biggest pain points in GraphQL, especially when you're getting started with like Apollo, like I feel like Apollo server has like a thing about N plus one queries and their solution is just use Data Loader. And then you go to Data Loaders, Data Loader has no mention of Apollo or it has no mention of any of these other things. It's just like kind of abstract. The repo is, and this is no shade on Data Loader because it is in an kind of an intense project. But the README for Data Loader, let me see what this actually ends up coming out to be. I'm seeing how many lines of code this thing is 700 lines of code or 700 lines in the README. And it is just a huge file of kind of wishy-washy explanations on stuff. Again, no shade there. It's just that this is a very generalized tool. And so for me, I would come into Data Loader and people just use Data Loader. Okay, let's see some examples of that. I'm trying to see examples here. So what's nice is that the GraphQL API layer that we started using, which is Mercurius, which is a Fastify based, it's very, very good. It's very fast. They actually have Data Loader built into it, and it makes it really easy. You just have you know how when you register your API, you'd say, you know, here's my schema, here's my resolvers. With Mercurius, you say, here's my schema, here's my resolvers, and here's my loaders. And it's basically like an object of what those loaders are, and you get even access to like turning off or on caching for them. So Mercurius, really shout out to not only making it a part of your documentation, but making it easy to parse and understand. And it like says right up front, a loader is a utility to avoid the 1+n problem in GraphQL. Thank you. Thank you. Here's how to use it.
I think the answer to a lot of these is your software will take care of it for you, which is ideal because like this is not something that a front-end dev should be having to deal with, right?
Yeah, so. Right.
The MongoDB Ruby API has this thing called eager loading. So does Laravel. They have eager loading built in. So if you know ahead of time that you could possibly have an N plus one problem, which is why we're doing this show, then you just have to use this thing called eager loading and it will fetch them in the way that we described.
You could also use like aggregation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. If you're using MongoDB aggregation, again, this problem applies to all databases. But if you're using MongoDB, you can use aggregation pipelines, and aggregations basically is allowing you to run these multiple queries, being like, look up these and then group them and then count them. And then for the property author, look up the authors based on the ID. And you can basically do these really, really big queries all inside MongoDB because MongoDB has its own query language. You can even run MapReduce inside of MongoDB, which is really cool. And that is 100,000 times faster than fetching the data and running the reduces in your own JavaScript on the server. Like if I like run like stats on my entire year's worth of sales. And I want to see how much I made and how many free courses and grouping the courses by and how much average cost per course and all of that data. If I query all that data and then loop over it, it's megabytes of data, a JSON, and then I have to loop over. It's very, very slow. But if you run that actually all in the database, it's much faster. And also you don't have to worry about those possible problems.
Yeah, it's so funny because the aggregation pipeline in MongoDB is exceedingly useful and very, very good. But man, is that syntax obtuse sometimes. I feel like I cannot write it without like living in that documentation for a little bit.
I just have like a folder of
previously used aggregations.
Yeah, because like once you get into it, you understand it. But like at once every 3 or 4 months, you're like, oh, how do I look up? How do I count the number of times that this course has sold? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, and I found the documentation to be, along with any of Mongo's documentation, a little iffy. But it's okay. It's definitely doable. Have you used... Mongoose has some sort of populate. Have you used populate in Mongoose?
I have, yes.
That's way, way better syntax, I think.
I use that quite a bit. So the way populate works is if you query you say, find podcasts where the date is in the last 10 days and limit 20 of them. And then you just tag on a dot populate and you say populate hosts, and it will go ahead and populate all the data for those. I don't know what it does under the hood. I don't think that it breaks it down to an aggregation.
I think it does.
Oh, really?
MongoDB. Well, actually, sorry. I read one sentence and I kind of half read it and I saw the word $lookup and I was like, oh yeah, of course it. No, I don't know if it does either be under the hood. It says MongoDB has the join like syntax $lookup aggregation operator. Mongoose has a more powerful alternative called populate. Yeah, so I don't know what it uses under the hood, but it's definitely for the same thing if you're using Mongoose, which we are.
Yeah, I'm using Mongoose as well. I use it quite a bit. I don't have very many relationships where this could be a problem, so I've not run into it specifically myself, but I would like to look into whether what Populate does use. And the way you could tell what it uses is you just turn on query logging in Mongoose, and then every time that you make a query, it will log out to your console, what the query was. And if you're seeing 7 or 8 queries run versus one, then you know, okay, it's running multiple queries for me in order to get all of this data. And it'll also tell you how fast those queries run. And it's important to test those on a hosted version of MongoDB and not your local version, because the local version will be much faster because there's no network transit time when that happens.
That's also one of the neat things about, Apollo keeps changing the names of everything. I don't know if it's Apollo Engine. It used to be Apollo Engine.
Where you could explore what is taking so long.
Yeah. So there's an Apollo product. Like Apollo, if you're always wondering how they make money, this is kind of one of the ways that they make money is to say, you know, here you can use our free tools for creating GraphQL stuff. But we also have these like paid tools that are really full featured and help you, right? It looks like, is it called Apollo Studio now? Yeah, it looks like it's called Apollo Studio. It helps you build, validate, secure your organization's data graph. And one of the things that this does is it gives you a ton of metrics on potential N+1 errors issues. So I've used this in the past. It did work phenomenally well with our API. Now that I'm not on Apollo anymore for our server, I wonder if there's a different solution for that. But that's what I've used in the past, and it's very nice.
Awesome. Last thing I'm going to put here is Prisma. I don't know if you would call them an ORM or whatever, but basically they...
That whole world confuses me, that language.
Yeah. Prisma sits on top of multiple databases and will give you a GraphQL API. So they're responsible for the N+1 problem. And they have a talk. I've only watched a little bit of it. It's about half an hour. I'm going to watch it once I get a little bit more time. But they say how Prisma solves the N+1 problem in GraphQL resolvers. So if you use Prisma, then they just take care of all of that for you.
Sick.
All right. Hopefully that was helpful. If you get a job because you nailed what the N+1 problem is, then send Scott and I $5 each.
If they say, what is the N+1 error? You just say, too many DB calls, hits DB too much, too much. And that's it. I mean, that's what I would say, like just hunting like a caveman. It's too much DB.
Too much DB.
Yeah, that's really it.
All right. That is all we have for you. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.